You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
This is Philippe Gensomo, and you're listening to the Van Flip Podcast.
What the flippy flip, goat flippers? It's your boy Lurg, and I just want to say thank you for making November our most viewed and listened to month thus far in the 10 months that we've been doing this podcast. It's crazy to see the growth from day one to now. Thank you for all the listeners and viewers that share, subscribe, like, comment, interact, and all that good stuff. You guys really help us out. We greatly appreciate the love. Thank you for coming back to the podcast. If this is your first time, welcome to the Van Flip. If you are listening to us on a platform that you can give us a rating, just go ahead and give us a 5-star thumbs up or whatever the hell it is you can do with that app or that thing or whatever. It definitely helps us out in the algorithm of the podcast world. Visit lambgoat.com to stay up to date on news, releases, and announcements from around the hardcore and metal world. Follow Lambgoat on social media. You can give us a like on Facebook and follow Lambgoat on both Twitter and Instagram at Lambgoat. We also started a Twitter account to better interact with you all directly for the podcast. Go follow at Van Flip Podcast. Tweet us what you think of the show or who the next guest we should have on. If you're the kind of person that likes to watch podcasts instead of listening to them, all of our episodes are available to watch on the Lambgoat YouTube channel, so subscribe and make sure you get notified when new episodes are released. I would like to take a quick second to shout out all of our Patreon supporters, Dylan and Lachlan. Thank you for continuing to support us. If you are interested in becoming a Patreon supporter, not only do you help improve and grow the show, but you also get early access to episodes before they are released, an invite to the private Discord chat, Lambgoat swag, and more. We will even shout you out as long as you are a supporter. Visit patreon.com/vanflip for more info. On this episode of the podcast, we have Bullet Tooth Records' newest signing, Nick and Rob of Mindfeed.
Oh yeah, what's this? I feel this. Oh yeah, this is stuff. Oh no, come on. Oh no, no, no!
Lambgoat presents the Van Flip Podcast.
So, welcome back to the next episode of the Van Flip. If you are new to the channel, if you're new to the podcast, thank you for stopping by. If it's your second or third or manyth time back, welcome back. Hit the like button, hit the sub button, give us a rating on your Apple Podcast app or whatever you want to do. Thank you for joining us today. Today on the couch, I'm also joined by Rob and Nick of Mindfields.
Ayo! What's up?
You guys are from here, Jacksonville.
Yep.
Born and raised. Born here? Cool. Are you guys from the beach?
I'm mostly more like St. Augustine area.
So St. Augustine, not from here. Got it.
I'm south side of Arlington.
Definitely from here. Yeah. All right.
Damn. Go me out.
Well, I mean, come on. You're St. Augustine. You just have the same area code. You got lucky on that.
Damn.
But you guys just recently were signed to Bullet Tooth, correct? Mm-hmm. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
So how long have you guys been a band prior to being signed? Like, how long have you guys been grinding it out?
So, I think, what, today's our
four-year I'm going to cut you off right there.
Oh, shit.
Nick is the vocalist of the band. And Rob is the guitar player. Yeah, because the bass player's not here. We gotta talk shit about him.
We would never talk shit about Colby, our bass player.
No, yeah. Play more bass when you're not on tour. Anyway, so how long have you guys been a band?
Today was actually our 4-year anniversary of releasing our first song.
Cool.
4 years ago, we released our first song on Thanksgiving Day.
And now you're on Lambgoat.
And now we're on fucking Lambgoat. The odds, right?
Full circle.
Honestly,
I guess you guys can retire, you know?
2, 1, 10.
No.
Yeah, I mean, 4 years, and I've been maybe with y'all for like a year and a half, I think.
Close to half, I'd say.
Something like that.
Cool.
We had Rob come in probably like 2 years into the band.
Mm-hmm.
We had our original guitar player, we found Rob, and then we played, one show with 2 guitar players?
One show.
And then he was like, no, I'm not feeling it anymore. We'll just let Rob take over. And we were like, all right, that's cool. Like, do your thing. And then we've just been grinding since that, honestly.
So it's just the 4 of you guys?
Yep.
Yes.
In a fifth member, and honorary fifth member.
The merch man over there.
Yo! To the main mosher. Yeah.
So you guys are like, describe your style, obviously, because a lot of people may not have heard of you on Lamb Goat for the most part, but describe like your style in the heavy rock world.
I would say, you know, based on our earliest release, it's like metallic thrash-ish. That's the best way I can describe it.
Would you deem it like hardcore?
Yeah. We have you know, a lot of like older hardcore style riffs, but also definitely with up tempo beats and metallic technical style guitar riffs.
Was your latest release the one from September?
Yes.
Is that the one you're referencing? Okay, just making sure.
Yeah, that was the newest one.
Because you can check all that out on the Bandcamp, right?
Bandcamp, Spotify, iTunes, all that good stuff.
Yep. Buy it from Bandcamp.
Buy it from Bandcamp, even better. You can stream it, cool, buy it even better. Anyways.
So how has the sound changed over the 4 years? Obviously, because Rob's a newer addition, and are you handling like all the guitar writing at that particular point going forward?
Yeah, especially the new release. I think the only thing I did on Void
was this production.
I put leads.
Oh yeah, you put some leads on there too.
I put some leads.
That's how we met Rob.
I recorded it.
Through production?
He was recording our Void Illuminance EP.
Yeah.
And then he showed a real interest in wanting to be with us, and we were just like, no, fuck, why not?
And you said you tried it as a two guitar band, but
when we did, and then right when
he did, he was like, all right, you got this, bro. And I was like,
the training wheels are off now.
Let's go.
Yeah.
So was that like weird for you though, to like, because were you expecting something like that? To have it all on your shoulders now, Rob?
I wasn't really expecting it. I'll take that back. I was expecting it.
We weren't vibing, you know?
We were just vibing.
He was definitely going in a different direction. Mm-hmm. Especially after that first show, he just showed interest in other types of music, which is totally cool.
They're a great band too. Shout out Intervention.
I expected it and it was totally cool. I've always wanted to be in like a thrash type band. That's the stuff I grew up on. So mm-hmm. It was kind of nice and easy transition. Especially being able to just like play guitar, because I'm used to like singing in a band mm-hmm. or you know, like doing the whole thing. So excuse me.
Getting over a cold. How long have you been playing guitar in general?
Since probably eighth grade. My first instrument was violin.
Sick.
First grade.
Yeah. Yellow card?
Yep. Played all the yellow card rules.
Local joke. No, don't hate us.
Ocean. So, yeah. Been going out for a bit.
Yeah. So you were a violinist and then you just like picked up the other six stringer?
Yeah, I mean, my stepdad had, you'd make a transition as a kid.
You said eighth grade you were playing violin, like in middle school?
First grade I started violin.
Oh, first grade.
Eighth grade is when I started guitar.
Guitar, there you go. Okay, I had it backwards.
My stepdad came into my life and, you know, introduced me into a lot of, like, awesome music that I didn't even know existed until I met him. And that was when I was like, hey, I can't play... I can't play these riffs on a violin. I need something different. So
solo. I mean, you probably could. You probably could. You know,
shredding shit.
The dubstick chick online, probably could. Dubstick violin girl, or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm gonna reference that shit, honestly.
I got a plethora of this dumb shit up here. So, so you started doing guitar like eighth grade, that's cool. And then, so what were you? I mean, now I'm just going down different avenues here. What were you listening to prior to your stepdad coming in? Because this is funny, because Connie obviously was on the podcast and was very influenced by her parents and her stepdad too.
But, so. Some classics.
Yeah, I mean, before my stepdad, it was like literally whatever was on the radio, like.
Yeah.
Honestly, like whatever my mom had on, it was usually consisted of 80s pop, 90s pop.
So yeah, I was gonna like joke and say Ace of Base, but it would have been right up in there.
Literally, like Tears of Fears.
Oh yeah,
like,
those aren't bad. That's not a bad group.
No. It's awesome, but like that's not. I mean, that's not like you don't strive to play music like that.
I don't even know how you would start running.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So like when I came into like, you know, I can distinguish everything that's going on in a song with these types of artists and bands. It's like, okay, I can. This is more attainable. You know, I can do this.
Yeah,
but.
Interesting. yeah, I'm not gonna get into that. I was gonna ask if you were single mom.
My mom?
Yeah, before you said
she
that.
She was. Yeah, me and my sister.
Just because, like, musically influenced on what she was listening to, so obviously it was more right. along those lines.
Yeah, it was interesting. Me and my sister, are twins, grew up.
And so you're already like outnumbered right then and there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she did.
What she I feel. I have two sisters, so I get it, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, all my family.
That's why I said Ace of Base, Spice Girls. I lived all that life too.
Spice Girls.
Anything you can sing along to.
Yeah.
That Backstreet Boys.
No, it's really weird though. Yeah.
That's me.
It is really weird. Because like when you're young and you're like impressionable as far as like music goes, there's a very defined point where like you start finding your own.
Oh yeah,
you're right. A little niche
for sure.
And then when you get that, it's just like fuck that shit.
Straight
like,
up,
everything that was pop music to me at some point became like the devil, and like I didn't want anything to do with it because I felt like it was so honestly. Bad.
You're and like it was mainstream, yeah. It's or like something like that.
Someone's like brainwashing type shit. Yeah, you know?
Almost I mean, as if that line.
I always accepted it because it was kind of like the only thing I knew.
Yeah, and at the time you don't know anybody.
But then my stepdad came along and he introduced me to bands like Slayer and Suicidal Tendencies, Testament. And then I was like, yo, I thought this was, like, you know, what all was out there. And, like, there's this, like, sick, evil music.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of like how it was for me. Like, for personally, it was, like, Limp Bizkit was huge fucking here in early, you know, mid-90s Florida and stuff. Shit, so, like, they were, and that first album was such a unique sound. There's a unique sound to that.
Florida hardcore.
I don't know that. We're not going to go that far. but they definitely were a hyped band around this area around that time. And I remember them being on the radio, and I was like, what the fuck is this? And then I found, like, other new metal shit, like Korn and fucking Slipknot at the time. Yeah, a little before that, but then I eventually got into that. And then
Static X kind of stuff almost.
I was fucking down with Static X.
Yeah, dude, Static
X. Wisconsin Death Trip was the shit, and I got that through, you know how when you scan those little fucking CD things, when you would, like, for 99 cents, you get 20 CDs or something.
Yes,
and never pay. I was underage. BMG. Music group?
Was it BMG?
Something like that.
It was something along those lines. I don't remember exactly what it was.
You just fucking fill it out. You're underage. They can't get you. You're good to go.
Golden blood.
Yeah. So I had many a CDs that my mom and dad would not have bought me.
Oh, no.
But yeah, Wisconsin Death Trip was one of those bad boys.
Yes.
Yeah, so I lived that life for a little bit.
That era of music was prime.
But I mean, like, when you find your own little niche, because no one in my fucking family listened to that shit at all. My dad was like Led Zeppelin and like 70s rock and AC/DC type of shit, but no one was like going under the underground. No one did anything underground for the most part.
Right,
nothing like that.
Yeah. So, what are your musical influences, Nick? As a not as a vocalist per se, but just in your actual
life. Like for me, I was a really sheltered kid, so like it was all like radio music. And then my cousin showed me Mudvayne. my cousin showed me Mudvayne, and I was like, should I like this? This sounds like scary. Like, I don't know if I should fucking like this.
These guys look
and then,
weird.
Like, he showed me like Slipknot, and after that, like, I just started playing different bands like System of a Down. And then I started like listening to like Trustkill bands like It Dies Today.
I thought you said Trust Fall.
No.
What, like Trust Company? That popped in my head for a second. I was like, what?
No, like,
how do you go from that to that?
Both My Valentine. I love Both My Valentine. I still do.
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of like Today.
For me, that was kind of always like weird, mainstreamy, underground.
Dude, It Dies Today for me was like one of my favorite bands. And then Both My Valentine. Campfire's
Bomber.
I discovered Both My Valentine on Need for Speed, on one of those games.
I think EA did a big service for like the metal and hardcore community, because there were a couple songs that they put on like Madden. X. They put other sports games. I remember just
I think they had Hatebreed on Madden at one point.
Probably.
I'm pretty sure
they definitely had Bullet for My Valentine on there. Oh, yeah. I remember that fucking song on whatever Madden that was, and I was like,
yes.
So yes. It got cheesy to the point where you're like, I love the solo.
Literally, though.
Yeah.
That was mostly me, though. Just Korn, Slipknot, System of a Down, and then got to, like, heavier stuff, like It Dies Today, Bullet for My Valentine. And then before, like, really, like, thrashier riffs or, like, hardcore punk, I was more, like, into, like, deathcore, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really loved, like, Oceano, like, Eye of Bitter War, Whitechapel, all of those bands. And then from there, I remember in, like, 2009 or 2010, I went to Carly Fest. And I saw Rotting Out and Foundation and Harm's Way. And it just changed the whole game for me, in my opinion, honestly. Like, watching Harm's Way play that show.
Was he doing, like, curls on stage, too? Yeah,
basically.
I mean, yoked.
Basically. And it's just, like, that was something I hadn't heard before. Like, something that, like, I don't know how to put it, but I sound lame, but, like, serious. Like, compared to, like, Bullet for My Valentine and shit like that. But, like...
You're talking, like, about, like, for...
For, like...
Like, just, vocals and message, or just, like, in general? Like
just instrumentally, band? Vocally, okay. Like, live, energy-wise, like, just basically everything.
Because Rotting Out and, like, Harm's Way seem like they would be trying to say a lot. Vocally, yeah, like, message-wise, you know?
Foundation at that show when they had just released When the Smoke Clears. And that was fucking crazy. I remember I bought that CD right after I saw Foundation. I think it was in, like, 2009, 2010. And like I said, it just... Bands from there just kept spinning off of those kinds of bands.
Mm-hmm. Well, you find one.
Find one.
And then, like, and then fucking three other pop up. And obviously, it's not like it was now. We talk a lot about, like, how music was, or how finding music was a little bit harder back in the day.
Because you don't have, like, the related artist thing, like, on Spotify now.
That's why people used to go to shows way more.
Way more.
Oh, yeah.
Spotify.
I love Spotify for what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also, like, I don't think... I don't know how good it is to find, like, bands within, like, these genres. Other than, like, bands that are already out there, that are already established or are on established record labels for those genres.
That makes sense.
I feel like if you were looking, because it's harder to get underground bands on Spotify in general, but, you know, God, fucking MySpace was like the gold mine, you know what I'm saying? Right. So easy to find music on there within certain genres.
MySpace and the profile songs. Oh, yeah. Loved it.
Top eights. I learned so many bands from people's top eights.
That's wild.
That was around the time, like, Amir came out too, and I really fucking loved Amir.
Yeah.
Speaking of Limp Bizkit.
No disrespect. I love Amir. I mean, I shouldn't say I love Amir, but I fucked with Amir heavy for a lot of albums.
Oh, dude.
I'm not going out of it. I just haven't paid attention to
up until,
it.
Like, Felony. That was really fucking fun.
Up until
that
he got electrocuted on stage.
Oh my god, I forgot all about that until just now. I'm saying it. I remember the video.
We watched that video the other week. I forgot about it until then, honestly.
What a quality video.
Shout out Frankie for the election.
Shout out Frankie. I love Amir. I don't even care.
Yeah, it was funny. You saw recently that they did the GoFundMe thing, or he was doing the GoFundMe thing?
Yeah, that's weird. How Frank just asking for money from the fans, for the band.
What?
For the band.
No, it wasn't like for the band. I think it was for like a fan club type thing, which you would get like easy.
We need printed tote bags. We really need money for our totes. We're trying to sell totes for our toys.
I know, like, I read that, and then it was maybe, like, what, a week or two later, he, like, refunded everybody?
Baby
Daddy. I think, like, closely after that, because I think everyone was taking it the wrong way. I mean, I don't know what the way it was supposed to be taken in general.
But, like, how can you take that, honestly? Like, what other way do you be like, hey,
there's, I mean, like, there's so many different ways to monetize. I mean, there's so many ways, not different ways. There's so many ways to monetize your content. I feel like, and honestly, this is just me personally talking, I feel like bands should do more like Patreon, GoFundMe type shit for themselves.
Yeah.
I feel like. Because it's harder to actually make money in the
industry.
For like
music videos or like what?
In general.
Like, at the end of the day.
Mindfields has like a Patreon page, right? And you guys might do like a live stream with the fucking Patreon people once or twice a month.
Like just early access
to early access to your shit.
At the end of the day, it's a service made for people that need money.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. You know, it's if you need money, it's available to you in the service that they provide.
Yeah.
And, like, there's no shame in asking for, you know, help.
No, yeah. I feel like, because, especially, like, at your level, at many, many levels above you, up until you get to a certain level, you have to have day jobs. and shit. Yeah. So why not, like, you know, $3 a month for fucking some kid to, like, sit on your live stream or, like, get in your Discord chat or some shit. You know what I mean?
That would be sick, honestly. But I know it's just viewed weirdly. Yeah.
I mean, right now.
Yeah, right now, for sure.
It's because we're in the
2020.
How many 20-year-old kids are subscribed to fucking browsers?
I don't know, dude. Who pays money for that shit?
Right.
I've never met one single person who paid money for porn.
Pornhub's been rocking it for fucking years, and I've never paid.
But they still make money, and they still exist.
I feel like, and this is probably going to upset some people, but I feel like there's a certain kind of individual that they pay for it.
Yes, that's factual.
But that's not the same individual.
My point is, there's people out there that will pay the $3.
Exactly.
To subscribe to whatever.
Oh, yeah, for sure. 100%.
The band they like.
But the same person that's going to subscribe to Brazzers probably isn't going to throw you $3.
They will definitely subscribe to your Patreon.
I want to watch you suck his dick.
Yo, that's hilarious. Yeah.
That's like they're a good band. I like the sound too. They are like a dirty good band.
By the Gallows album, the Felony album, as dumb as the lyrics are, it's just I love it for some reason. And the respect issue.
Speakers of the Dead.
Speaker of the Dead too.
Is that the one with the white cover and the speaker box?
Yeah, honestly, like
with that song.
Yeah,
with that one song.
With the drug dealer friend.
Drug dealer friend. Yo.
But anyway. So yeah, that was interesting. Patreon, you know, I'm just gonna skip that. I found out who created Patreon, but that does not apply here. One bit. That's just like a personal like Benjamin LOL Franklin. Thing. No, it's a guy that was in a band. His name is Jack, I think, and he was in like a group on YouTube called Pomplemousse.
Pomplemousse.
Yeah, they used to do like weird covers on YouTube, and I always wondered how they got bigger, and that might be why the Patreon thing might be why
started making sense.
Now they're in like fucking big ass New York studios and shit with like 10 people playing music. But anyway, moving on that. Yeah, totally not even hardcore or anything. So you guys have been like doing the little circuit here in Florida for a little while. You guys have done some tours. How many releases do you guys have in total? I know you have like four like album covers on your Bandcamp. So
three main releases.
I think we released our first single, like I said, 4 years ago today, and that was Mental Torment, and that song was on the Perpetual Suffering EP, which was in 2016, I believe. And then 2018, we released Boy of Illuminance, and then we got Robin here, and he records a bunch, so that really helped us like speed the process along of like trying to get stuff mapped out for the new songs. So we wrote like those new three songs in maybe like a couple months, and we were just like, let's just release them real quick. And yeah, so we probably have, I'd say, like three EPs.
So how long how did you guys get linked up with Bullet Tooth? Was it something you were just like sending demos out to play places, or did you get contacted?
He honestly came to us.
I think
he messaged Trevor, I think. Yeah. Our drummer.
I don't know if he saw that we were playing in Jersey. I mean, this was on our tour, our last one with Byforce.
Yeah.
But maybe he saw.
I don't even know, really. I don't know how he like found us, but I know
Osmosis? He was are you actually signed to that, or like is that a thing, or is it just like we're making it up as we go along?
I know Trevor was the main person talking to him, and he was like, yo, this guy that used to run Trustkill is gonna come like see our show in Jersey. He's driving like 2 hours for it. I was like, damn, really? I hope he don't fuck up.
And first string.
And that show, he broke a string, and there was like maybe like 10 people there. And I was like, dude, this guy's not going to want shit to do with us. And then we talked to him after. He's like, so you guys want to do an album? And I was like, I mean, like, we'll figure out like the details, but that sounds fucking awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
so is it just like an album? One album deal.
They were going to do what? 11 or 12 songs?
We'll do whatever time permits and energy provides.
Yeah. We already have, like, what, three songs written? Four songs?
Are the EP songs going to be on there?
Yes, the self-titled ones will be on there, so it'll be LP.
Will they, though? Because I don't know. We talked about it a little bit.
We've had mixed decisions on that, because we changed tuning for what we're about to play.
We went
new
down
stuff.
C from drop D.
I mean, you can just, like, have, like, other guitars off stage, you know what I mean? Just...
That's what I was saying. Yeah. Yeah. He's a pain in the ass kind of shit. Play it all in C. Okay. Yeah, what are we in C? C standard?
C's, drop C.
Drop C.
We'll figure it out. You'll find out when we're done.
Yeah. We'll figure it out.
Maybe if you subscribe to the Patreon page on your download, you'll have the $3
a month.
You'll have the access.
Cancel your browsers now.
For one browser subscription, you get 10 months of Minefield.
Way better deal. Let's take this out of here.
I mean, you can also do different tiers, bro.
Subscribe to $3 Snapchat.
Free my snaps. You can make a fans
premium
only
tour Snapchat. We're doing bullshit.
I think we're stumbling on some shit here, folks.
Honestly, like the Patreon.
I mean, bands, fans only stuff.
Yeah, you know what I'm
only fans.
I mean, like there's a lot of groupie type bullshit going on.
Yeah, I mean, what? Gardner Mitchell got that deal from what was that porn website?
Brazzers.
Brazzers that literally work out.
Yeah, they wanted him to
fill in.
Millions of dollars.
Yes,
he would work out for not even a long period of time. It wasn't even a long period of time. Like an hour, maybe. Yeah, I think not even that.
Not even
but
that.
That's a stretch. We're going to go with an hour. Because it's $1 million, so you got to give it
for browsers, just to work out in your jock strap.
He would be in a jock strap, because he works out in a jock strap in college, and now, I guess. So. Do you know he only, but he only makes.
He's got a mustache, man.
That's power.
He only it's makes. I think he makes league minimum, maybe. I don't know what it is, but it's like $300K a year, not which is bad. Not shitty.
Not too bad.
But $1 million is $1 million.
Yo, straight up.
Yeah.
He did not do it. He's not
we're
doing it.
That too. Like, but he was like, no, I'm not gonna do it. And now Nick Foles
probably you should probably tell everybody we're talking about Gardner Minshew and Jaguars.
Oh game, yes, bro. The Jacksonville Jaguars. We're all from Jacksonville, so we all feel the pain of watching them lose every fucking week.
I'm not a Jaguars fan.
You said for the record, Rob's not a Jaguars fan.
I don't think I am anymore going forward.
After that last game, fuck.
But anyway, yeah, we're gonna lose everybody talking about fucking the Jaguars.
All right.
Sorry. Speaking of Patreon, though, fucking Patreon it up with the Van Flip. $5 a month. You get early access and a bunch of other shit.
Help them out.
Hey, you can talk to me on my Discord. Or our Discord, not my Discord. Anyway. So, you guys, when is the album, like, slated to... I mean, have you started... Obviously, you started writing for it. Do you guys write and record at the same time?
So, basically, our process this time will be basically writing. And as we go... creating sort of a pre-production demo of each song. Mm-hmm. I think we might do that in segments. So we've got 3 songs done.
Three songs outside of the 3 song EP.
Yes, correct. Okay. I've got a couple of songs kind of jammed out the riff bank that we are pulling from, and I think you know being able to record and listen to. A rough demo is going to, you know, help us make changes and make, you know, kind of like cut our songs into something a little bit more special than our last releases.
Fine to them.
Do you guys record at like your house, or do you have like access to
the
studio?
Yeah, okay. So my house is my studio, Shed Sound. We did the drums there last time, and we did everything there. Mm-hmm. Think came out pretty good. Looking to up it this time.
Mm-hmm. Cool. What's the direction for the new album and stuff as far as like music?
I think
record. I think we're gonna maybe mix and master. Get someone to mix and master it.
It's always
good.
And
Rob will just like engineer it and like do a little bit of production.
Yeah.
But mostly mix and master. We'll probably send off to somebody else.
I don't know. I think I'm gonna mix it too.
Well, then shit.
Yeah.
We're finding out right now,
man.
You hear her first. He wants to mix.
Who knows? If we can find someone to mix it.
Yeah, we're honestly.
And better than me.
Well, I mean, you know, you're going to have some old ex Truskill money. You might get Will on the case.
We're really indecisive on what we want to do, like plan wise for everything. We're just trying to get the songs written and then just go from there, probably.
Yeah, I mean, as far as a tentative finish date, I mean, it all really depends on our lives. I think we're trying to push for like spring.
Yeah, spring.
I mean,
maybe
you might
summer.
As well, because then you can get on the tour.
We're all working full time, and Trevor works in Orlando, or he lives in Orlando. He's got a kid now, and so like it's hard for us to all get together at the same time. But Rob usually just will write some riffs and then send it to Trevor. He'll get it down, and then once we finally meet, like every like couple of weeks, we just knock out like. two or three songs at a time, usually.
Mm-hmm.
That's usually like what we try to go for, at least.
Yeah, that's the plan. I think that'll work out for us.
Is there any kind of direction as far as like the sound is going? Are you changing anything up, adding anything, experimenting a little bit, maybe?
I think that
a little experimenting.
Yeah, I think production value goes a long way. I think that being able to take our time with these songs and really sculpt them the way we want them is going to change our sound, but not change our the personality of our music.
Mm-hmm.
I think the biggest change you'll see in our music is, you know, dropping our tuning to C. But we'll still have the same drive and the same message, especially lyrically. Mm-hmm. You know, he has some recurring themes with his lyrics and songs, which I think is awesome and works for us. But it's just all kind of a general consensus of our direction has been dark, fast, and heavy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I mean, as long as you stay along those lines, I think we'll be happy with our outcome, and so will our listeners.
Cool. Yeah, I was thinking about your lyrical content. It's really cool that you guys are like a brony type band, you know, and you sing in falsetto all the time. It's really awesome.
I work on it a lot.
I love My Little Pony.
Yeah, yeah. And you don't see a lot of those, like, you don't see a lot of the brony type bands, you know, get much love. So.
I actually just chopped my pony's head off.
R.I.P.
R.I.P.
Damn it. Honestly, making our sound more mature for what we already are.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, the riff changing, the tuning changing, and
riffs do change though on the album too. So
we'll have some different riffs,
yeah.
But like, just trying to have something for like everybody, like trying to have something for the thrashers, the punk kids, the hardcore kids, the beatdown kids. Like, we try and get a little bit of something, all of that in there for everybody to enjoy.
I think that just comes with our writing style. I mean, like we. You know,
we all have different backgrounds on stuff we love.
Yeah, not the pony joke was a joke.
No pony.
No pony.
Yeah. I'm actually really kind of phobia of horses, and
especially tiny ones.
And I'm somewhat allergic to horses as well.
Put on the record. Tattooed horses that are small. They're fucking freaking me out, man.
Freaking me out, man.
So what is your what's the lyrical message with the band? Since
it's mostly just like stuff that I feel like I can't talk about with my friends and family, just like my depression issues, my suicidal thought issues. That's the main drive of my lyrics, was just getting my depression out there, getting the suicidal thoughts out there. And the newer stuff, I kind of went with a different approach. Like, one song I had like a suicidal song, one song I had a song about like political stuff, like.
Which is making you want to do suicide anyway.
Basically, I mean, it's fucking 2019 we live in anyways. But basically just saying, like, fuck Trump, fuck racism, fuck the media. Just trying to, like, go back and forth between real-time issues and also, like, personal issues that people can relate to, mm-hmm. at the same time.
Yeah, it's always weird. You don't want to... So you don't want to be, like, all about just, like...
Just me.
I'm depressed all the time.
Listen to my words.
You know, like, you don't want to be like that, but then like...
Sometimes I'll ask the band, I'll be like, what do you guys want me to talk about? And then I'll kind of go from there.
Right.
But even then, they're just like, I don't fucking know, dude.
It's because like, you also play these shows with like bands that actually have a message and shit. And like, I always felt like, oh, we don't really have like a fucking message.
I just
hated my ex-girlfriend, you know?
Yeah, I mean, as long as it's something really important, I think all the good, you know... feelings come out, whether it's about completely different things from song to song.
Relating to it.
You know, it's, you know, if there's a lot of feeling behind it, it comes out really good. Especially since we're writing dark music.
Yeah.
I feel like you've really nailed that, especially with our last release. But I think if we carry that along.
Yeah, we just keep pushing it along, like I said, just mature the sound.
Yeah, well, hopefully you just stay depressed forever and you can just write forever.
Yeah,
you know?
That's just the key to being a musician, just be fucking depressed.
I think anyone that does anything in the arts is always going to be depressed.
I took his Xanax away. Okay. So he can write better.
Yeah, right?
False news.
You'll get him back When you're done writing the album.
Yeah. Springtime, maybe on tour. Then we'll really amp up the OnlyFans page.
We're shut not all drug addicts, I swear. We just smoke weed and drink beer. That's the only thing. No, don't believe him.
He got into the rap life a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit of rap life.
I fully support Lil Pump and everything he does.
Yeah, do you listen to other stuff? I don't know. Do you listen to other things outside of the heavy genre?
Yeah.
Honestly, I listen to heavy music about 20% of the time.
Okay. Well, you're also playing violin and shit, so I expect you to have some like Tchaikovsky on regular beat.
Step music. I've been listening to some...
Like Riverdance?
Some Riverdance. Honestly, I listen to a lot of indie. Arctic Monkeys, Black Keys,
Tame Impala, an indie man.
A lot of that stuff. I just like my. I feel like my head is constantly like on 10. So like when I can listen to some music, it has to be something like kind of chill. You know.
How does that affect like writing though for you?
Well, that's my outlet.
No, I mean like as far as like writing music and writing riffs, because like. If you're listening to other stuff all the time, do you try to like write like Arctic Monkey shit, but like in drop C and like a little heavier?
Yeah, acoustic stuff maybe a little bit.
Maybe, but like I think that they have a lot of awesome melodies that metal misses sometimes. Mm-hmm. So maybe that kind of plays into what I'm writing because riffs are melodies whether you like it or not, and I think. It just comes out. I think writing metal, whether someone thinks that I'm good at it or not, I think it's really easy for me, and I can come up with riffs that I like pretty easily. If I need some inspiration, I always branch out and then kind of go back to my roots and. It always kind of turns out good.
Mm-hmm. So what do you listen to, Nick?
Mostly, like I said, I listen to a lot of heavy music.
The Midnight?
Yo, I love The Midnight, honestly. Shout out The Midnight. But I like other stuff like that, like The Midnight, like some pop stuff. I love like Turnover.
The album's sick.
Turnover's new album's great.
Super good.
The new Vatican album's fucking great.
Mm-hmm.
I've been listening to a lot of DaBaby. I love DaBaby. I love like Lil Peep. Love Freddie Gibbs, like shit like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a lot of different stuff.
Even like your like rap, even the rap that you just said, those three names are fucking so different.
Right? So like, I love Freddie Gibbs, I love like Shakewell, stuff like that. And I just listened to this girl named Phoebe Bridgers, I think her name is. And I haven't heard her before, but she's really...
Nor have I.
Really, really soft, like, chill music that I really enjoy. And I've been stuck on her lately.
Yeah.
So much different stuff.
When we were on tour... Back in the day, like, I always had to have, like, some weird music in the band, for the band. This is before fucking cell phones and iPods and all that shit, so we had CDs. Mm-hmm. But, like, good Lord, there was a time where, like, after the first week of the fucking tour, I'm like, all right, we're done. No more heavy music at all in the band.
Yeah.
That's me.
Yeah.
Bro, that was me. Yeah.
We feel that.
That's
definitely.
Us.
Because, like, you're all day...
Stop! You're all day listening
to it.
Something chill.
You're all listening to it, and like your job technically is like to play it, so you're around it all the time. It's a pain.
We like for chill music. We like The Midnight, Turnover,
Mom Jeans.
Mom Jeans is pretty cool. Who else? I can't think. Turnover mostly. That I've been stuck on that new album.
This is. Any of their albums you can just turn on and drive to, and it's like chill.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to think about it, it doesn't bother you. And you know, everybody's pretty much down with that.
So, yeah.
Where are some of your favorite shows as far as like on your tours have been?
I'd say.
How many have you been on? How many like tours?
Tours? Tours? So, funny thing, we've been on 4 tours this year, and that's more than. The entire span of the band that we've done tours. We did, I think, one tour in 2017 with Incited, and then some stuff with Law happened with me, so I couldn't leave to stay out on probation.
The Law,
like
let's talk about that.
Oh, man.
You shouldn't have said anything about that.
I just, Got arrested for some bullshit. Got fired from my job.
He was counterfeiting money bills.
Oh my god. Basically what the cops really? Thought. Okay, so I came across a fake $100 bill. And I took it to Daly's and I was like, yo, don't know if this is real or not. You know, check it for me. They checked it. It was fake. And we got to call the cops. So I was like, all right, do your thing.
Do you think I'm gonna step out for a second?
I waited. No, I waited there for a good 5 minutes.
Okay, well you deserved it.
Yeah. I waited there 5 minutes and said, "Yo, y'all want me to wait till the cops come?" And they're like, "Nah, nah, you're good." Like just ignoring me basically.
Right.
So I was like, "I gotta work in the morning. I'm gonna go. I'm going home. Bye."
It's like drove 2 home. O'clock, 2 p.m.
And like next day at work.
At work.
Literally next day at work, 4 cops come there to interview me about it, and then end up just arresting me on the clock. So I literally lost my job. I was unemployed for close to 3 months trying to find a job because it was a felony they charged me with.
Mm.
It was a third degree felony uttering a false bill.
Did they clock you out though?
No, I asked. I said, "Can I at least fucking clock out?"
So you have,
no, dude. Sorry, I was
are
like,
"Are you
all
saying
right.
you had a missed punch?"
Yes. Unforgivable at Publix. Unforgivable.
Unforgivable.
So I dealt with that shit for. Year and a half, had to do community service, get a new job, go back to school, impress the probation officer bullshit. And then after that was done, we started hitting minefield a little bit more hard. And we're like, yo, I don't have to deal with that bullshit anymore. Let's tour as much as we possibly can. So we toured with, the beginning of the year, we toured with Lowered AD, which was a blast. And Rob had mono the entire time.
Oh, yeah. Mono.
And then we
making out with all these other brony fans. Or
bronies.
Honestly, the worst part about it was that I had no idea how I got it. I was just sick for an entire month.
Just stop licking handrails and shit, man.
don't lick doorknobs. You played two sets.
Yeah, I was filling in for bass with Lowered.
We played two sets every night and then just went in the band and slept.
With like a 100-degree fever for like 2 weeks.
Yeah. Good.
So you were probably like that clammy dude sniffling.
He was mad.
Yeah.
I probably looked like I was on a lot of heroin.
Coming off of it or something. Just shaking
like
and sweating.
I swear, but, he's fine.
But in reality, I was on the verge of death.
Yeah,
he would be comparable.
Yeah, he was having a rough time. I remember that. But then after that, we went to, was the next one Texas?
Yeah,
yeah, we did. We did a Texas run for Hope for Shelter Fest. We did that by ourselves, and it was
headline that
Hope for Shelter,
Easy Money,
Reserving Dirt Naps,
Race Trader,
and that was in Dallas. No, not Dallas, Texas, San Antonio.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, we played Alabama that tour, San Antonio, Dallas, Louisiana.
Heaven's Die
played that. Really love Heaven's Die. And we did, like, I think 4 or 5 days by ourselves. And the drives on that tour were fucked.
Oh, yeah. Anything?
Our van didn't have AC. I was, like,
in June, you know, May.
Cooking, no, like, a hot dog in between the seats, laying on the floor. Oh, my God.
You put your water on the ground because the engine's, like, underneath the van.
I've never been so
and your water just gets scalding hot. And you're like, I can't even drink cold water anymore. This fucking sucks.
I think, especially from here, for people who are unfamiliar, like driving on, I'm assuming you did I-10 like 90% of the time.
The classic way.
So like I-10 out west, it's like 6 hours of Florida. Mm-hmm. And then you have like 20 minutes of like Alabama or something, or Louisiana or something. Then Louisiana's a little longer, but fucking Texas, bro.
Dude, Texas
was just
awesome.
And it's so dry.
It was our first time there. It was a blast.
And another thing that people don't realize is you're facing the fucking sun the entire time you're driving.
Dude, I didn't think about that.
Yeah. It's a pain in the ass.
Remember,
like, you're like,
on the way back, your arm's getting completely baked.
My arm was burning.
Yes.
In the van, on the drive, my arm was burning.
And,
the sun
and you
was
can't
so long.
Wear anything with sleeves or else you're just cooking.
You just heat stroke instantly.
Or else you're cooking because you don't have sleeves on.
It's a lose-lose.
So
that,
again, this is all content you can download on their OnlyFans.
OnlyFans, $3 a month.
They get naked on
the
their. They get naked in the tour van.
Cooked arm meat, $10 a month.
There you go.
What the fuck?
It's all bonus content, you know. Fans just want it, bro.
Well, announced tours before. No, we couldn't do that. That would.
It's
be
my weird. Cooked arm meat.
So we did. We did the Texas tour, and then we played all the Florida dates with Hoods, and that was a fucking blast.
That was sick.
Before we played with them, that was the band that we covered for like the first 2 years of the band.
They're pretty.
And when we played with them, and they were all about it, and like
their shows were awesome.
Their every show was great. Miami was wild.
Tampa was with 3D Deep.
3D Deep.
Yeah.
So what about bad ones?
Oh, man.
I'm sure there's like fucking 100 to 1 bad ones.
On the way to Texas.
No, all the way to Brooklyn. We broke down.
No. Oh, yeah.
We didn't get peached.
Okay. So this is the tour that I had Mono on. We played our first date. It was like...
Virginia or...
No, North Carolina. And then we had to drive all night to
13 Brooklyn, hours.
To Brooklyn. We had to be there next day.
Ran out of gas.
And I'm driving... Fucking sick.
You're in the front.
And it's like February, and I'm like, oh shit. I remember this older van we're driving, and it's like, right before you get to the orange, we gotta stop for gas, or else you're fucked because you just run out of gas. And I'm telling the guys that, and like as that's happening,
as he's driving,
it's like, and I'm like,
oh no,
fuck. I'm like, Dave, do we bring our skateboards? We ended up having to basically skateboard like 3 miles.
On the highway.
40 degrees.
On 95.
At 4 in the fucking morning.
4 in the morning.
It's like raining and drizzling and like 30 degrees.
See, again, if you subscribe to the OnlyFans, these dudes can like Uber at some time.
Video footage of this happening in real time. $5 a month.
They just cover the Uber cost if they write down.
And then... We get to fucking Brooklyn, and
shot.
Oh god!
Is this?
It's a really cool. It was a really cool lineup.
Cool venue. Cool venue. We had Utmost play. They were really cool, like melodic hardcore band. And we had Annulment play, and they were really fucking sick. One of the dudes from Incendiary plays drums in that band, I think. And DMP, Death Metal Pope. They were really fucking sick. So it was a good lineup. Really cool venue. I don't know if it was poor, like, I don't know what happened, but we got there and maybe 5 people paid.
Yeah, it was like 5 minutes.
We got half
of a free pizza.
And we got, we were supposed to get a full free pizza, but someone took it. Someone took our free pizza, so they made us one or two slices per band member, and then like one drink ticket per member. And I was like, all right, here you guys go.
Thanks for driving.
And the promoter was
hours.
Like, yeah, I didn't make anything either. I'm like, I mean, you didn't drive 13 hours either, did you? Like, fuck, man.
Yeah, he probably like, I made a little money, though.
So like,
that was a bad show.
That was a bad one.
How many of those do you guys get? You guys, I mean, obviously touring bands, especially before your side.
Honestly, there's only like a couple on that tour.
For how little we've toured, I've been surprised with the turnouts, honestly.
Yeah.
Because I've booked all the stuff like myself. So I've been
that was
really
my next
worried.
Question. Like, if you guys,
I've been really worried about like all the show turnouts. So I'm just like, well, if this sucks, it's on me. So that lower AD tour, like, I think we had the Brooklyn show. That was bad.
Yeah,
and that was pretty much it. Everything else was wild.
What's the Brooklyn fan base looking like? Is it like hipster city out there for fucking hardcore?
We didn't have enough people to show up to find out.
<There's> no, I mean, I've been to Brooklyn, and I
it was a cool city. I love walking around. New York's fun.
I think the coolest thing that happened to that show was. Our bassist found a Ozzy Osbourne pin. It fell off a 50-year-old punk dude's jacket.
Sick.
And he kept that shit, and he was like, yo, fuck yes, dude.
Yeah.
He was very hyped on that.
And then Colby lost it. Like, he does all of those pins.
The fucking bassist of this band. I can't wait for him to hear this.
So, like, pins. Do you guys ever... Does he fuck with, like, pins heavy, or is
yes.
He actually...
Like, punk pins, or, like, pins in general?
No. Both. He does a lot of art for us. He has a sign painting company, and he actually creates enamel pins. He just came out with some Jags ones.
Yeah.
What's his pin company? Pinobi? Obi Pinobi?
Obi Pinobi!
Pinobi.
I think it's called... His sign page is called Bacon Silence.
Obi-Wan Pinobi.
Oh. Is that what it really is? No, okay, because there is like a Jaguar fucking thing. I think Kenobi is the
He doesn't name. Have an actual one for his pins, but for his signs that he makes, it's called Bacon Signs, if you want to follow it.
P.O.P.
P.O.P.
You never
Bacon
know.
Bacon underscore enable, signs.
Bacon underscore signs.
Enamel pins are the shit right now.
Yeah, we got a lot of different pins made
he
for
has,
Minefield.
He has tons. He's a big Simpsons collector.
Mm-hmm.
He has...
Sounds like a friend of mine, bro. Pins in the Simpsons. Like, all right, do I get it?
Yeah, it might be Colby.
No, it's not.
Is it Warren?
No.
Colby, you're not the only one.
No, yeah. I mean, does Colby hang out in the rain for the Rickmobile?
He could have, but he may not have told us about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It could be very possible.
He didn't tell anybody about it.
But it's very possible.
Because my friends that are the big Simpson people, they were like, yeah, fuck it. 7 o'clock, we're going out there, and it rained.
That's a no for me, dog.
And it rained. Yeah, I don't get it. I mean,
like I said.
Pin art's cool. I love pin art. I would make pin art. I just don't collect those things.
He did the colorways for our Mindfield pins.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Lots of different colorways.
He's made some different type of, what's that show called?
He makes our designs for shirts.
Yeah, he's made some shirt designs too. He's like basically.
Is he the one that lives in Orlando? No, Trevor lives in Orlando.
Trevor lives in Orlando.
We all have like a little, I feel like we each play in the band.
Yeah.
Like Rob gets all the riffs down, gets all the recording shit. Trevor does a lot of the Instagram, social media kind of stuff, promotional stuff. Colby does all the
editing,
like the editing and the Photoshop and all the kind of like logos and designs we get usually.
Not practice bass.
Not practice bass.
Everything but playing is instrument.
And then I do most of the, like the booking stuff. So we all really throw a big hand into the band.
Which is honestly why we've been able to cover as much ground as we have, I think.
Yeah, it definitely helps with like each person doing an individual thing because like, and then, I don't talk shit about my old friends that were in my band, but I felt I was the only one doing anything outside of the musical part. Yes. So like,
the business part.
Yeah, yeah. I was booking the shows, doing the social media at the time. There was not that much. Yeah, it was that.
Let's go.
But I was like booking, and I'd have like input in the songwriting too. But like outside of that, no one would do a dick. So no, I was like, fuck.
You're like, fuck this, dude. I'm out.
Yeah,
yeah.
I feel that, but that's why I feel like we all communicate well and we're all on the same wavelength with stuff, like whether it be just random bullshit like humor or like riffs that we like, we all just click on the same shit.
Yeah, we're like almost like on a voting system. It's like alright, who's up for this?
We're playing this show? Three votes to one. Alright, we're playing it.
Yeah. Right. That sucks being the one.
Literally.
Fuck, I'm gonna do that.
Figure it out, dude. But we're not doing a lot of shows right now. We're doing select few here and there. Our next show
honestly, I'm glad we didn't take that first little round because now we're getting offered even better ones.
And yeah.
Like, well, with being signed and stuff, obviously I was going to ask, like, are you still going to be handling your shit? Are you going to have, like, a booking
agent? We're going to book most of it unless Josh from Bullet Tooth can reach out to his people that he knows and try and, like, submit us for bigger tours.
Their support,
otherwise, I'll be doing it.
Their support is going to lend a hand with a lot of booking and stuff.
What else are they going to be helping out with? Are they going to pay for like recording and stuff like that?
Recording, marketing, tour.
Are you going to like pump up the prices for your recording?
Well, he records it all, so he does it for free.
Yeah, I mean,
and then we just, yeah.
Everyone, you can like budget it, you know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah.
I know this is my band, but I'm going to need $1,000, guys. Right. I mean, he knows you
want. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I did the last one. Not where I'm getting it. Anyways, tour support,
Fest. Fest is a big thing.
Management, if we need it. He said that anything we need, just to reach out.
Cool.
And that's
promotion, like, artwork, marketing.
I'm not familiar with how big their organization is currently because, like I said, I knew that it was defunct Trustkill, Josh and shit.
He described it as an indie major label. So,
because I know he has ties too. They had ties.
He's got
too.
Some good, that's like why, heavier bands.
That's
too.
Why he described it that way. It's like an indie label because he wants to keep it small and manageable because it is probably only him and a couple of other people.
Mm-hmm.
But he still has those, major label connections and those relationships with a lot of promoters that are still doing just as much as they were back then.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was them and Fair were like my two favorites back in the day. And they found like so much good music.
Yeah.
Poison the Well was on Trustkill, I think, at one point.
They were on both.
That's crazy. Yep. I think, bro. I know Bullet Tooth, they have Earth Crisis is on there now. They'll be releasing a new album from what I've heard.
First Blood,
Most Precious Blood. Yep. I'm a, like, more old school, like heavier bands, which like I feel like we fit in with for the most part.
Yeah, I mean they honestly have a wide range.
Very wide range.
Death Ray Vision.
Memphis Mayfire's on it.
Memphis Mayfire. Mm-hmm. Death Ray Vision just released their album. They were touring with Crowbar and Killswitch.
Yeah, that's one of the dudes from Killswitch, I think, isn't it?
I don't know.
I think it's one of the dudes. I can't remember.
What was the name of the band you just said?
Death Ray Vision.
No, okay, that was because Jesse of Killswitch has a different band. I thought that might be what you're saying.
Yeah, no, it's not that one. They're cool.
That band's sick though. Like they got, like, he showed us all the stuff he's done for like other bands, and it just seemed.
Did
like
you guys go up there and meet him, or is this all over?
This was at the Jersey show. When we talked to him.
Okay. Yeah,
he brought us a bunch of old school like Trust Kill Merch and like records, and I thought that was really cool.
Tell him to hook it up. I'm looking for a hoodie.
All right. He had a bunch of cool ass shit. But then, like I said, he saw us at that show, and we played shitty. The turnout was shitty. We were like, this guy's not going to want anything to do with us. And then we got done. He was like, so you guys want to work together? And we were just like, let's figure out some shit. Let's do it.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you're going to try to get the fucking record done before the spring, so that way you can hit the touring cycle.
Trying to.
What festivals are your ideal situation?
On our radar, festival-wise, like This Is Hardcore, Promcore, Wild Rose up in Canada, you know, Rockville.
What?
If we could open at Rockville, that would be badass. I remember our friends in Yashira did that before, which was really cool, so I feel like it's possible we can
There's
do that.
A lot of people there at 12 o'clock, too. So
you exactly know. What I'm saying. And just to play on stage that big would be insane. Just like, fests like those that are known, like This Is Hardcore. We'd love to play FYA, but the fest is already locked in stone. Yeah, just fests like those. The bigger ones like FYA, This Is Hardcore, Promcore, Hope for Shelter when it was a thing, but I think he said.
When you say big ones, man, I'm thinking like Rockville, those size, but
we talked about
scene ones.
Shaky Knees Fest, and that would be cool to get on, but that's like a stretch. Like, I'll be like.
I could see like a Turnstile type band playing something like that.
I think Higher Power's playing that. Mm-hmm. Higher Power and then some other band. It might be Turnstile. It's not Turnstile, though.
They just have like a, their sound is just so much bigger. Yeah, not bigger, I don't want to say that, but wide, yeah, wider.
Turnover is like honestly just like a festival band now.
Turnstile?
Or no, Turnover.
Oh, Turnover?
Epicenter is what we were talking about. With like
Disturb Metallica!
Yeah. Just to like open it, just to
Oh, well, yeah, because then you'll get like the fucking push monster.
Exactly. Something, just to get our name out
there. Well, and you know the thing is, we were talking about a lot of those guys and people, I should say, that are like younger and going to those festivals, they don't know any better. I don't say no.
You can't
better.
Say it with a straight face.
They don't know. Maybe that they haven't reached the pinnacle of their like discovery of bands. You know, like I fucking was Power Man 5000 for a little while.
Yo, Power Man 5000.
That was Rob Zombie's like nephew, I think.
Yo, Rob Zombie, let's go.
I guess
I used to fuck Rob Zombie heavily. Dude, Dracula was my shit.
Oh, good luck. That just reminds me of a kid driving me to school. I used to drive with him, and it was like 6 o'clock in the morning, obviously, when we were going to high school out here. And it was dark, and he had like these weird neon lights inside, and he would just fucking play Dracula all the time.
With the neon lights?
Yeah, and they would like
that's just saying, on a level. I couldn't do that 6 a.m.
Dude, the digits, they burn. I was like, go, good boy. It's like a 5 minute drive to school, dude. Just chill.
Just be like, put something else on.
Somehow you played it four times.
Put some video. Put something. Chill on. I can't do this at 6
I'm going to start riding the bus again. Fuck.
Get me out of here.
No, it's fun shit. So what are, what are 5 influential albums for you? As far as like, doesn't have to be for your music or anything like that, but just in general, like what 5 albums?
I'd say one is definitely.
Rob, you should start thinking about yours right now.
I think one for me is Sepultura, Chaos ID. It's definitely one of our favorites. Any All Out War record. Yeah, we played 2 shows with them. We did Orlando, and then we flew up to Puerto Rico and played in Puerto Rico with them. And that was an interesting time. Puerto Rico was very interesting, per se. Yeah, just like the scene there and the culture and everything. It was really cool, though. It was definitely an experience.
I think those island-type groups love that hardcore shit.
They were like into like the more like heavier beatdown stuff still.
Yeah, they like I think like
turn back in time a little bit.
Yeah, they are. Still
they obviously like, are definitely.
They still have like the big plugs and stuff like at hardcore shows. Like,
no, that's just them in general. I shouldn't say Puerto Rico, but just like island culture.
But like
I mean, they're literally on an island.
Yeah.
But yeah, Puerto Rico was a vacation for us basically.
Except for almost.
And then we almost got killed there. That was a fucking wild time. Again, our bassist Colby almost killed us. That was I won't go into too much detail about that, but it was a wild time. It was an experience. Only way to put it, really.
So you have two more albums. I know you said All Out War, Sepultura.
All Out War, Sepultura. You got any, Rob?
you got two. Rob, give me five.
Okay. I'm gonna go ahead and say Toxicity. It is one of my all-time favorites.
That's a heavy banger.
System of a Down, baby.
Yeah, I'm gonna say This Is It by The Strokes.
That's a good one too.
Yeah.
What's on that one?
Every single song on that album.
Is Last Night on that one?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's one thing. All right, yeah, moving on.
I would have to say. I mean.
We're getting like
I'd have to say Master of Puppets.
Okay.
There's so many fucking riffs.
There's just so many riffs.
I would say Practice What You Preach by Testament. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think. What else?
It's hard. It's like one of the harder questions I get. So I'm just like, I try to think about it. I'm just like,
I want to just scroll through my shit.
Right?
Well, I mean, like, you know, like shape, that's kind of like shaped you. Not like ones you listen to
all the time. Like musically, what shaped this?
Yeah.
For this band, I'd say like All Out War, Sepultura, Marauder.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
I've been listening to a lot of Black Breath.
Black Breath is always fucking bad.
Like, honestly, any album by Black Breath is fucking killer.
So we're trying to mix like the heaviness of like Black Breath with like the riffage of like All Out War and
Sepultura. They're about as dark as it gets when it comes to like hardcore.
Yeah.
To me.
Black Breath.
It's like, I mean, they're black and hardcore. Like,
and it's the only way to put it.
It's like Spit on the Cross. I mean, don't get heavier than that. But they also got like a lot of thrash riffs, breakdowns, and
fast stuff that we love.
It's just good.
So it would be the perfect sound for you guys if you guys like nailed it right on the fucking head. Like, what do you aspire to be?
Oh,
oh man!
Like, what combination of artists that exist?
Or like, what band will we like to be?
Yeah, like if you
hit ourselves to
not really per se like one band, but if you were to like
a sound,
if you guys were to like, oh, this is it. This is our best thing. This is our Toxicity.
Oh man, I say like.
Just the album. That's it.
This album coming out. I'd say just like a bunch. I wouldn't say any band in particular. I would say like thrashy riffs mixed with like just riffs that make you want to just mosh and two-step and stuff like that.
Yeah, I would
say. Along with like punk beats and like maybe a D beat here and there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different shit, honestly. We couldn't really narrow it down, even if I tried, honestly.
Yeah.
I can't really. I've tried, even just sitting at my own time, I'm just like, I don't fucking know, honestly.
I just want to say, like, Slayer riffs.
Oh, yeah,
with
Slayer too.
With, you know, a modern touch and, like, you know, but heavier.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
More modern, heavier.
Do you plan on attending any of the last Slayer shows?
I was at their last Chicago show at Riot Fest.
Cool.
Fucking
when the awesome. Riot Fest recently?
Yeah.
Fuck, dude. They Glassjaw played their Worship and Tribute shit there. That's my all-time favorite.
Dude, they honestly, out of all the bands I saw that weekend, that was the best set.
I've done
their sound and their performance was incredible.
Yeah, I've done some dumb things for that band. Not like, I mean, I've done like some dumb trips for that band.
So
like,
good.
I've spent a fuckload of money.
So to good. I saw Jawbreaker.
They came back.
Beyond. Testament, Slayer, and Anthrax all on the same fucking day.
Anthrax
was insane.
So you like some cheesy 80 metal?
My stepdad.
Yeah.
Thank him.
No, I get it. No, I mean, like, that's a building block for some shit.
Yeah. So good. Like, I mean, it's
Nuclear Assault, another band that we like that's really old, like, thrashy. We discover.
It's crazy if you really think about it, how big, like, Anthrax and all that shit got back in the day for not being, like, super mainstream. I mean, I guess they were mainstream because they've just always been around, but.
No, they were stuck in with that label with Metallica.
They also did a bunch of, like, crossover shit, though, too. Yes, you know what I mean?
With, like,
rappers
and shit.
Yeah. They were a big 80s band, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean.
It's like modern, like, Cold World does
Honestly, they're from Brooklyn. They're from New York. And it's just like, they were on the right time.
Mm-hmm.
Just had that big sound.
Had that big goatee, you know, stood out a lot.
That definitely stands out.
Yeah, he's still doing that.
It's weird. It's so weird that he does. I mean, it's cool that he does it too. But he plays in like all these other bands. Like he's in the Damn Things with Keith and all them.
Yep.
Yeah, we had him on. We had Keith on, and we asked him like, "What's it like being a band full of millionaires, and you're the only one that's not a fucking millionaire?"
Damn.
Yeah, he was like, "It's fucking tough sometimes."
Damn it.
Because you know they get invited to all these other things that like every time I die I doesn't get invited to.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Bye.
Like shit.
Yeah, it's weird. Dude, that's gnarly.
That's a weird band, the Damn Things.
Yeah.
As far as like group of people and where everyone's from and shit.
Yeah.
You got Fall Out Boy.
Very diverse.
You have Anthrax and you have Every Time I Die. Mm-hmm.
The dude from Fall Out Boy was in another band, wasn't he? Another hardcore band.
Yeah, and
all of Fall Out Boy, I think, was in a different hardcore band.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah, but, I think they all came from a hardcore
band. Andy Hurley was in. Oh, I forget. I
can't remember the name of that band.
Did he filled in for someone, I think, after Fall Out Boy stepped away?
Yes, but he's always been in this other, I want to say a straight edge hardcore band.
That makes sense.
Yeah,
I can't think of him. I have to research on my phone, I can't remember.
I'm not doing that.
You don't want to look up Andy Hurley?
I can't remember.
No, I only look up his vegan magazine features.
Nice. It's there.
Nice.
Good shit.
His powerlifting vegan.
He powerlifts? No, that can't be true. Yeah, that can't be true. I was like, I mean, he may like work out a little bit, but he doesn't look like he powerlifts.
He powerlifts drumsticks.
There it is. Let's go.
Yeah, man. Fall Out Boy, that was a funny one. Fall Out Boy was a funny one, man.
It is still a funny one.
It's, I don't even really pay attention
laughable,
anymore.
But it's
a classic.
Well, earlier Fall Out Boy is. The weird stuff, I feel like, we're getting off topic here too, obviously, but like, I feel like once Pete found Panic at the Disco, like, fucking Fall Out Boy was like, we're going that route.
Yeah,
I get that.
We're going Panic at the Disco route.
Panic at the Disco, like, you know, they're just, like, overshadowed by Fall Out Boy. But they're kind of better.
Oh, that first, first Panic at the Disco album was, like, obviously a scene.
Well, I mean,
classic.
Yes.
You know what I mean? You couldn't go anywhere without hearing that.
A true classic, honestly.
And then the normies got a hold of it, and you can
freaking normies.
You can still hear all that shit out now.
It's like 15-year-old white chicks at the bar. Oh. Yeah. It's like, how the fuck did they get in here?
Well, I definitely had DJ'd their fucking first album songs out late at night at the fucking bars before, and
shut down for underage drinking.
No. See, all those 15-year-olds turned into like 25-year-olds now.
Oh, yeah.
So they're like, I fucking remember this shit.
And it's like, fuck, shit.
Rock metal.
But even like early Fall Out Boy was still
rock.
You could still kind of get this like very, very minimal hardcore feel from like early Fall Out Boy.
Yes.
It's like a dirty fucking pop-punk sound.
Yes.
That's great.
That's what I was going to go for.
I don't even know if they play instruments now. Like their new, music, I don't feel like I feel like it's just super produced in studio.
It's like Bring Me the Horizon now.
Yeah.
But I don't like it for some weird reason.
Suicide Season though.
Dude.
Yeah, I'm not a Bring Me the Horizon fan.
Oh, God.
Count Your Blessings.
Plagues.
Oh, Plagues, yes.
Yeah.
Did they play Rockville last year, this last one?
Bring Me the Horizon? Yeah. Pretty sure they did.
I was not about it.
So good.
No.
It's so good.
And I had never seen them before.
It's so good.
I'd never seen Bring Me the Horizon live before. I mean, I remember when they first came out and how it was like a heavier band and shit.
Yeah.
And so I was like, all right, well, I'll fucking stick around and check it out. And again, I'm not talking shit or anything like that. I just had an expectation of what I thought they may sound like. And I was like, huh.
Right.
That is not at all what's going on.
We're going.
Yeah, I was like, this is a full on.
One thing I can say about that album, though, and that band is just they have never released the same album twice, which I can respect.
Mm-hmm. Well, is there anything else you want to kind of like toss out in the last little bit here as far as. I was thinking like bands locally we could shout out, but we already really talked about most of them.
I'll give my last album.
Go for it.
he looked it up.
Shadows of Security by Azalea Dyes.
Let's go.
Okay. Yikes.
Absolutely. Let's go.
That
you're going to catch some heat.
No, I'm not. Right? I don't care.
You're going to try to kill your wife at some point and you're catch some heat for that.
I'm not. We can. I don't care. Dude, honestly, everything about that album and that. That was a
great album.
That's the one after a fail collapse or something?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, with the... Dude, that was a great song. I remember that. I mean, that was a good album too, but then he tried to kill his wife, and I don't know how I feel about all that now.
And then you're just like, I don't like that.
It's so weird. And like, now it's...
God has saved.
He was saved before though, bro. That was the whole situation.
Man, it was crazy on Roy's.
I mean... Have you kept up at all with his situation?
Very little, yeah.
Let me give you a little what's been going on the last couple of years. So obviously the whole situation happened. He went to jail for that. And then
2 years.
I think he was doing like some powerlifting and shit like that. Getting really into steroids. And that was probably the reason why he came to the conclusion that that was a good idea.
Yes. that was it right there.
Nothing else is going right. Got a killer.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't really know how to approach the situation, but that seems like the only logical explanation.
I'm just like, all right, Tim, chill out.
So then he was in jail, got off the boys probably, and decided, you know, realized that he had done wrong.
Emailing them, the band.
Not yet. Know. They didn't have any contact yet.
Oh.
I don't think. But he was emailing a woman. He did get married.
Yes, so
he
I
got
saw
married
that.
In jail
the one
to a woman.
He's married to now.
Yes. Currently.
Okay.
Which is
interesting.
You know, crazy. To each his own. To each his own. But I found it weird that he promoted it on. I feel like I found it weird that he did promote it on social media and such. Like, this is me getting married, right? Yeah, bro.
And I was like,
and it's like,
how
you know,
you feel about it?
Within the last 3 years,
Instagram in jail.
He did have one. He did have one. Yeah, that's the way he posted it. I don't know if he had one in there. He wasn't like flexing on the story.
If I ever go to jail, I better have fucking Instagram.
I watched a thing. Oh my god! Not to get too off topic, but I watched a fucking documentary on Netflix called Dream Killer.
Dream Killer.
And this dude got falsely accused for killing some dude. He went to jail in like 2000, and they just got him out. Or he went earlier, like before social media and before all that shit. He went out. He got out finally, like 10 years later, and he was like, "I don't know anything about that shit." And I was like, "It blew my mind." I was like, "Oh,
it must be an insane concept to be in jail for 10+ years."
How long were you in jail?
8 hours. Only 8 hours.
Not for he had long.
Dude, you freak.
Both of you guys are longer than I am. I got arrested like earlier this year.
Nice.
I spent like 4 hours in jail.
Let's go. Rob's got his beat. Rob's got 12. I got 8.
Damn, dude, you do like 3. I will say this though. I got arrested when I was like 21, maybe for fucking something. I mean, both things were like dumb shit, like yours.
Bullshit.
Yours was even worse than mine. Mine was like
bullshit.
Mine was like, you got a warrant out for your arrest. I was like, for what?
You're like, wait a minute, hold on, chief.
Yeah, I was like, I don't even know what the fuck that was before.
One pack of gum, I swear.
I did get caught with a grinder. I just didn't show up at the court date. One of the court dates or something like that. But anyway.
You know you can delete the app, right?
I know, but he was already going through my phone. He was already going through my phone, you know. And I was like, fuck it, let it run. But if he knows what it is, then he knows what it is. You know what I mean? But yeah, but the first time I went to jail, did you get in a cell? Were you able to get into a cell?
I was in a holy cell.
Okay. No, like an actual
cell. Oh, actual cell? No, I was in a holy cell.
Wait, did you go to a jail cell?
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
Oh, yeah. Weird flexes, but okay.
Hot rod was my cellmate. I shit you not.
I had two of them. One of them had just gotten shot in the fucking face.
Oh, my God.
That was the first time I ever went
to
jail.
Just chilling in jail? So what you in
for? He had like a thing. Yeah. It was all like, what are you in for? And I was like, I don't know. I showed up with a piece of paper and I'm here now.
I got shot in the face.
I got shot in the fucking face.
Yeah, I was like, I shouldn't be here.
Like, true that?
Bottom bunk,
but
bitch.
No, I showed up and there was no fucking mattress on my bed, right? Nothing. On my little metal thing on the wall.
Nothing.
I was like, one of these bitches stole my fucking mattress, bro. Because I didn't know. I was like, maybe they
double stacked on the
mattress.
Wait a minute.
They said, fuck this guy.
20-year-old white kid showing up. What's up, dude?
They're just like, this motherfucker. I just got shot. I had Knicks fans in here.
I had Moe's earlier today. What's good?
These guys are like, I'm going to kill this man.
Yeah. No, jail's funny, too.
Jail's an interesting time.
I got flashed by 8 grown men.
Oh, nice. See, I didn't, jail. Nothing like that.
That's a little rough.
I wasn't even in the shower.
It was my room. My little room. You know, they all came in, just showed me what they got.
Just showed me their cots and just walked away.
That was their butts.
That was their butts.
Again, on Grind, not Grind.
Ah, he's got it. He's caught.
You can check out their OnlyFans at
$3 a month. See, yeah. Rob, you're clashed by 8 butts.
No, when I walked, was it here? Did you get arrested here?
Yeah.
Cool. So, like,
cool.
Because if I'm going to explain it, he'll know what I'm talking about. When you walk to like your cell block, like your little block, your pod, dude. When I went in earlier this year, all of them were just hanging out on the window because it's all see through, clear shit.
Yep.
And then I walked in, like, oh, he's here, he's here, he's here, and I was like, what's up? I'm here.
It's me.
They're like, I'm a stabs man.
Well, I was like, when you watch so much Locked Up and Lockdown or fucking documentaries and shit, you're like, all right, don't be a nerd when you just be like, what up? Yeah, like, hey, fucking, I'm in jail too. It's good. Who's got the fake cigarettes?
Dried up piece of pillowcase.
Where to lose it?
Yeah,
that shit's killing.
Oh my god, yeah. The first time, like years, like when I was 20, there was a dude, the guy who fucking got shot in the face was smoking a fake cigarette or whatever they fucking rolled up in the cell. And of course, I'm just showing up, so that's my cell, technically, that I'm showing up, and like they're smoking cigarettes, and I'm like, great. And then, like, to cover the smell up, they had this fucking a bunch of shit in a sock, and they would just like fling the sock around, and it was like powder, like soap powder. But I remember breathing that in, I was like, oh my god, that is like worse than smoke, dude.
It was jail ingenuity, man.
Oh,
it's crazy. Another level.
We never, we didn't get far enough to like make any kind of like jail pizza or jail meal. I did have the brown bag lunch, which you probably had too.
Yeah, the only thing I remember is like
they gave me a ham sandwich. I said I ain't eating.
That ain't ham. Dude, you ain't getting no ham sandwich. You got a bologna sandwich.
Oh. Ham,
there was no ham.
Did you get the Oreos?
I didn't get Oreos.
You got Oreos?
Yeah.
What?
There were Oreos, like knockoff Oreos.
But still. You got cookies?
They made me stand in front of the window.
You want your cookie? Nope, you can have my cookies.
Like, I was by myself in my holding cell, but there's, like, blood all over the seats. I'm like, man, and you're getting cookies?
Well, we probably went to a different holding cell, the big main room that has, like, fucking toilets downtown. Available. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
It had a big fucking, room, and it was, like, cell.
No, I mean, like, you're holding, like, before you go to your cell.
I don't remember. I got arrested at, like, midnight.
Oh, you were drunk?
I mean, yeah.
Not sober?
Technically.
Technically. Not, bullshit.
Not wasted, but...
Stand up, brother!
But underage.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's it.
Consuming alcohol.
Nice.
Yeah.
Those brownies go crazy, bro.
Brownies! Yes.
Those brownie parties are nice.
They made me stand in front of the window while they
made rolled, you.
They were like, yo, bro, stand in front of the window. I'm like, alright. And then they were like lifting these like heavy bags of water wrapped up in sheets so they could work out. And I was like, hey, let me hit that shit.
Let me hit that shit real quick.
I could do a couple sets.
Like, oh, this man playing, alright, shit.
Did you have to experience a like overnight? Oh, yeah, probably because you were fucking
12 hours.
Luckily, at like 2 o'clock in the morning, my dad knew, this is years and years and years ago, my dad knew that I had gone down to the jail and like I didn't come back. So
my dad knew too.
And I was, and you know, you get to call a number. I was fucking years and years and years ago. We didn't have a house phone. And I was like, I don't know anyone's fucking cell phone number.
Right.
So, straight like, up. I was like, ah, fuck it, whatever. They know I'm here. In my head, I was like, in the morning, I'll be out. You know, I was like, I'll go to court in the morning.
Wait a little bit,
it'll
be fine.
It'll be all good. I'm a gangster. I can do it.
I'm a gangster.
No, my God, this guy got shot in the face. Fuck yeah, I want to get out.
Hey, guys.
Who's got, where's the cigarettes, dude? Who's got some ciggies? Yeah. Who's got the fucking fake wine?
I call my mom. She's like,
dude.
She's like, all right, let me know when you're out.
I'm okay, like, we'll do.
Fuck,
no, like at 2 o'clock in the morning, my fucking bail went through and they like, over the intercom, the door went open, and I was like, fucking laters, dudes.
Later, dude.
Occupied.
Fuck you.
And then I saw him in court the next day, because you like show up fucking court. And
it was right afterwards? That's convenient, though.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was scheduled for court 9 in the morning anyway.
I had to wait like a week, and then I had to go to court.
That's all my homies from the cell block. Come through. What up, dog? How's your cheek feeling? And of course, I asked him what happened, and he was like, "Ah, some bullshit." You know, this, that, the other. I was like, I bet it was some bullshit. Right.
He just got shot in the brain.
Yeah, just some bullshit.
Just another day.
No big deal.
And I'm in jail. You know how that happened? I was like, I don't know.
How did we get here, man? Yeah. Shit,
we're equals.
But I was school last time I was in. I was schooling dudes on like how to fucking make money out when they get out.
Really? That's sick.
I was like, here's what you do, son.
Here's what you gotta do.
Here's some internet hustles, okay? He goes, really? I was like, yes.
Son. Gave it a podcast. Gave it a shot.
You ever stole credit card numbers? No,
next level shit.
That's like some fucking Bluetooth scammer shit. I don't know anything about that.
Some dark much. Shit. Yeah, yeah. Credit card numbers.
Too much.
I know how to make like a marketing website, you know what I'm saying? Like, I know how to like sell shit on the internet.
I know a couple things.
But yeah.
What's your social security number?
Yeah, steal social security numbers. Steal all that shit.
Easy shit.
This is good content right here.
This is gold.
If they've made it this far into it, onlyfans.com/thevanflip.
For $30 a month, you get our social security number.
Or a social security number. It doesn't fucking matter.
You get one of our social security numbers.
I don't have much, I swear.
It's a surprise.
Yeah. I am broke.
All right, well, let's, shout out, who you, any final things before we dip out of here?
Shout out, followers. Shout out to Casey Frey.
Shout out, Casey Frey. Shout out, followers. Look out for the album, either spring or summer. Shout out to Zayas. Shout out, Rhythm of Fear. Shout out, Vatican. Shout out, Megachurch.
Do we want to do your meta nerd of a burger though?
I don't know.
You in the fucking, you know, we were talking about earlier. Fucking Ben's in the band.
Bermuda Nova.
Oh, yes. Yumanita Nova, yes.
Yumanita Nova. New name.
And
new,
then,
new names.
Need a new Ether name. Coven, badass band.
Yep. Okay.
I don't know if I already said them, but Vatican. Check out their new
fourth
album.
Fourth time he's mentioned that fucking album.
Or the record.
Hey, I think they might want to tour or some shit if you're getting that vibe.
Nah, that's all I got for a shout out. Let's probably got some people.
I don't care about nobody, really.
I feel you.
Fuck everyone.
Damn it. We're a nice band.
So tell mom I love you, mom.
Mom.
That's it.
That's it.
This is the story of Whitney Houston.
This is the story of Kurt Cobain.
Of George Michael, of Otis Redding, of Amy Winehouse, of Michael Hutchence, Bob Marley. This is the story of Prince.
It's a new podcast series.
About how they died, why they died, and why we're still talking about them so long after.
It's like nothing you've ever heard before.
It's storytelling.
But it's more than that, because rock stars,
they tell us how we feel. They change our mood.
They change the clothes we wear, the people we hang out with,
the way we remember things.
It's them who give us those ludicrous moments, the ones where you're
jumping around, singing your heart out, feeling understood.
And it's those moments we'll help you remember, the ones you're thinking about right now.
That feeling.
That feeling.
It's coming soon from Crowd Network.
Just search for Death of a Rockstar on your podcast app
and subscribe now.